call my message today Preparing a Place for the Spirit, which of course you had a lesson this morning already, or I should say a demonstration. How many of you understand that in every church you wouldn't have that liberty? Now that wasn't just a time where anybody could do anything they wanted to. It was a period of time where we were allowing the Holy Spirit to do what He wanted to do, and various people were being instruments for that. It wasn't just a time for somebody to say something. It wasn't just a time to be excited. It was a time to hear from God. Let Him minister to you and meet you and acknowledge that He is Lord of all. And so we say that we want that in our churches. I think most people would say that we want the Holy Spirit in our churches, but I think a lot of people don't know what that might mean. Because to want the Holy Spirit to be alive and to do what He wants to do, you have to make a place for Him. And He won't fight you for space. He won't fight you for space. If you don't yield to Him, then you just become colder and colder and more mechanical. The Lord reminded me of this scripture, and I felt He wanted me to share it with you, that you will understand how particular the Holy Spirit is, where He works, where He rests, where He remains. And it starts all the way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 8 and verse 7. And He sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. This is Noah, concerning the flood. And also He sent forth a dove from Him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto Him into the ark. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't find a place that's prepared where He can rest, then He moves away and goes to a place that has been prepared for Him. And He can always go back in communion in the bosom of the Father. But He's not going to stay around where a place has not been prepared and made for Him to dwell. You see, the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then He put forth His hand and took her, that is the dove, and took her unto Him into the ark. And He stayed yet other 7 days. And again He sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And He stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again to him anymore. Notice that when the dove returned, it was because she could not find rest for the sole of her foot. So she returned into the ark. The dove is a type of the Holy Spirit all through the Bible. Noah knew that the raven was a bird of prey, and he sent it out first. He knew that it would rest upon any kind of uncleanness that was out there. In fact, he would stay on it and devour it. But the dove, being a type of the Holy Spirit, couldn't rest his foot upon any unclean thing. Sometimes in churches and sometimes individuals are crying out for the Holy Spirit, but they're not preparing a clean place. And He will not rest His foot on uncleanness and mixture. And sometimes we say, oh, I felt the Spirit in that church. That's because there was enough people gathered there that were willing to be a place for His presence, that they had made a place for Him. By moving the things out of the way that are mixture and the things that are unclean. And in the service today, because the way the Spirit was moving, I kept praying this, take Your glory, Lord. Take all the glory, Lord. All of the glory goes to You. He works through people, and it's wonderful, but He has to get all the glory, or He'll go somewhere else and work where He will get all the glory. You need to know this. He doesn't have to come to church just because we do. As a matter of fact, I think He's really humble to let us tell Him what time to come, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
If we really thought about it. The Holy Spirit will never join himself with mixture or with that which is unclean. He might fly by. You might feel a sense of blessing, but there's no place for him where he can rest. When the dove found that which was clean, he could land there and rest there, whereas the raven was satisfied to rest himself upon any unclean thing. This is a picture of how the Holy Spirit could come into our midst and do his wonderful works. We say that we want his presence and we want him to have his way so the will of God can be done and Jesus be glorified, but do we prepare a place for him that is free from mixture and unclean? Sometimes we have brief encounters and experiences, and then it seems that he will withdraw. Is there a way that we can get him to continue with us instead of just having a visitation, that we make this place a habitation, that he make your life a place of habitation? And so this is why the cry in the river movement was, more, Lord, more, more, more. The more we have him, the more we want more of him. And is there a way that we can get him to continue with us and be there to do the work that only he can do? Wonderful things that we heard today. People being healed of cancer, for example. Now, thank God for wonderful doctors. We have an oncologist in this church. Thank God for all the things that they can do. And in fact, this was the testimony that we had. I've seen that advertisement on TV about the cancer place, and I just see that they're on a track there where they seem to have such a desire to really help people. I'm glad to know that they're praying for people. And the Holy Spirit will indeed work with those that are endeavoring to help in any way. If you're giving a drink of water, Jesus says he will bless that. Anyway. But these wonderful things that we've had testified about in our church today, we can't heal people. We can't save people. We can't turn some sort of switch and get people to be free from drugs. But the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit can. It's a God-sized job. The generation we live in today, we're not going to be able to stand reading the Bible and say, now you all try to be nice now. It's going to take a breakthrough from heaven. People are not nice. Politicians are not nice. Performers are not nice. If you've been reading lately in the paper, we found out how they're just not very nice. You see, it takes the Holy Spirit to do these things. But you know that the Holy Spirit has largely been forgotten. I'm very interested that people would choose to go to a church that doesn't teach about the Holy Spirit, or doesn't seek after his power, or doesn't expect him to move. How can anything be done if we don't have the Holy Spirit? It's because there's ignorance of the things that can only be done by the Spirit, which we so desperately need. There was a man once who had led powerful revival in Argentina. He came and he stood in our sanctuary, actually a year before our revival came in 1980. And he stood in the sanctuary like this, and he just looked around and he said, if you can get him to come, if you can just get him to come, then he can tarry with you and do the things that no one else can do. Amen. I can't do these things. Hey, you, no matter how much we say we want this kind of church, we wanting it is not going to make it happen. The work of the Holy Ghost. Jesus builds the church. It's supernatural. We can't do it. That's why we have to so revere his presence and put ourselves in a place where we can be carriers of that wonderful anointing that he brings. People who don't understand about the Holy Spirit think the work of the church is done through organization, talent, hard work, really, and are completely satisfied if they have a mix of that. It's a deception, because God doesn't get the glory. Man gets the glory. Oh, for all of the articles. There's one magazine that they send to my house free, one of these big Christian organizations. I looked at it one time, and it goes in the trash from now on. Just a slick finished magazine about how pastors can do everything and cause everything and make everything happen. And I think, boy, I've been doing this 42, 3 years. I know I can't. Give me a break. Tell them we need Jesus. Tell them we need the Holy Ghost. We don't need another slick finished book telling you all the messages. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need Him to settle in with us. That's what I'm talking about today. We need Him to settle in with us. Because, you know, when you deal with the Holy Spirit, He may not want to do everything according to your ideas. So some people, you understand how I say this, would really rather run the church themselves. And it's proven by the way they squeeze out any opportunity the Holy Spirit could ever have to move. The problem is, where is the power to do that which only the Holy Spirit can do? If we don't have Him, who's going to have any power? And so the like scripture to this one of Noah is the one of Jesus over in John 1, where heaven is open and the Holy Spirit descends from heaven like a dove and rests upon Jesus. Verse 32, John bare witness saying, I beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it stayed on Him. And I knew Him not, but He that sent me to baptize in water said to me, upon whomsoever thou shalt see the Spirit descending and abiding upon him, the same is he that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. This is the New Testament record that the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, descended from heaven and rested upon Jesus and stayed there. You know, all people who are born again have the Holy Spirit, so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. If a person's born again, they have the Holy Spirit in them. And in Acts chapter 2, the other experience revealed is that believers can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means that they'll be immersed and filled and will come into a power beyond what they had as believers before. If you're not going to have something you didn't have before, then why do you need it? No, you change when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. He gives you a power that you didn't have before. And Jesus is the baptizer who fills us with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have the power that we need to live the Christian life and to minister in His name. But what is this that happened when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and rested upon Him? After this, Jesus began to do miracles and to embark upon what the Father had sent Him to this earth to do. You might remember the example that Bill Johnson gave. He either did it here or it was in his video course that you took, where he talks about the dove resting on Jesus' shoulder. It's the one about making a place. What does he call that? Making a place for His presence. Hosting His presence. That's a good word. A lot of people get time to time visitations, little experiences with the Holy Spirit, but they're not equipped or prepared or understand how to host His presence. How to live and walk in such a way that the Holy Spirit feels comfortable to rest with that person. And I remember seeing Bill saying that, if I have a dove that has lighted on my shoulder, then when I walk, I'm going to walk very carefully so I don't disturb him and he fly away. If you know you have this Spirit, this wonderful anointing, resting on you, then you have to be careful how you walk, or you will disturb Him. He doesn't like lying. He doesn't like hard-heartedness. He doesn't like selfishness. There's so many things the Holy Spirit's not going to be comfortable with, but He's calling us to walk carefully in such a way that when He comes to light upon us because He wants to anoint us and flow through us and work through us, then He wants you to walk in such a way that He will feel at home to rest there and stay with you so that you can continually be empowered to do whatever you need to do. I thought yesterday at our festival was a wonderful time for us to see. It was a lot like going out into the world and ministering, only it's very safe here. And you're surrounded by prayer, and as Eddie suggested, probably the angels and all of that kind of thing. But when you're ministering to just anybody, everybody, you need to have an anointing. You need to have the Holy Spirit continually resting upon you, because that's the power that you will have to pray right, to say right. That God will give you wisdom and He will give you understanding. Otherwise, you'll just be one more anybody talking. But you are anointed people of God that He has sent out to bring people into the kingdom of God. It was a little taste of that yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate it. I don't know if our friend got here today that visited from the campground. Are you here today? He thought he probably would come to church today, but I just bumped into him in the parking lot. It was just kind of like if I was anywhere else. And he, of course, didn't know who I was. I was sitting in a car, and he said, "You know, what is this?" What? He walked over from the campground, and I said, "You are just in time." And so I invited him to come, and I said, "Get all you want to eat, take some home with your wife." And he's looking about a house to buy in the area, and I said, "Go down to the prayer tent, get them to pray with you concerning that," which he did. And he was kind of reluctant at first. "Well, I just hate to go down there. I feel like I'm barging in." I said, "Hey, here's a ticket. Here's a ticket. You go down there and tell them the pastor said you should come down here and do this." And this is the way we minister in the world. We have people we've never seen before who open up opportunities, give us opportunity to share with them the good news, what they can do next, how Jesus can help them. Isn't it wonderful? But we need the Holy Spirit to say the things that will draw people to Him and not repulse them. So, not speaking of the Holy Spirit who always lives within you, but considering the Holy Spirit as He's poured out upon us to empower us to do His work, this is like the anointing that comes upon us to destroy yokes of bondage. Remember from the book of Genesis that the Holy Spirit would not come to light upon that which was unclean. If we want Him to come upon us, the anointing of power which we minister and do this work, we must provide a clean vessel for Him to rest upon. Now, you don't have to do this. It just depends how much you want to be a bearer of His glory, a carrier of His power. It depends on how much you can bear to see people suffer and nobody helping them, see people sick and leave them in their pain, or do you want to change that through the power of God? You know, the three major sins that keep the Holy Spirit from resting upon us, according to the Scripture, are grieving the Holy Spirit, resisting the Holy Spirit, and quenching the Holy Spirit. If we want Him to work in power among us, we must be sure that we do not do any of these three things. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit has emotions? We can grieve Him. You can resist Him if you are always saying no to what He's leading you to do. You can quench Him by putting your hand on the holy thing that God's trying to do. I've seen wonderful moves of the Spirit in which the Holy Spirit rests upon the congregation for long seasons and does His mighty works in our midst. And I've had opportunities to observe what things quench or grieve the Spirit and how we may unwittingly resist the Spirit. We quench or resist His Spirit when He's not allowed to move in our midst, according to the will of the Father. And when we don't make space for Him because we are intent on doing what we simply want to do. As Rodney Howard Brown says, he says, you know, you can go to a church where they keep God back in. He's in a back room right over there. Everybody knows where it is. But if you want to be ministered to, if you expect to have any kind of visitation from God or anything like that, you just go back there and some people will pray for you, because the last time we let Him out in the sanctuary, we didn't know what to do with what happened. So it's very common for churches to put the lid on what the Holy Ghost is begging to do. We have to make space for him. You would have noticed today, several different people had input in the service. That's called body ministry, or the ministry of the body. Some people don't think there's any ministry except that which comes from the platform. Well, that's not in my Bible. It says one has a psalm, one has a doctrine. Let everything be done decently in order. But as Ann Jimenez says, but let everything be done. Yes. Some people are so intent on decency and order, nothing ever gets done. And anytime you allow a little liberty, somebody might do something that not exactly what you want. Are we mature enough to know that we have leadership here that's going to get that in order and try to do it in the kindest way that we can, right? If you saw something really you thought you wouldn't probably want to see again happen on a Sunday, you probably won't see it happen again. Just depending. Could be a lot of different things. So it is very important we quench or resist the Spirit when he's not allowed to move in our midst. And when we don't make space for him because we're intent on doing what we simply want to do, it's possible to set up our gatherings in such a way that the Holy Spirit will always be excluded, because there's never enough time and everybody else has already grabbed it and laid it out. There will be no provision made for any change or take any time to hear from him. Only what we've already decided is going to happen here. But I've seen that the main way the Holy Spirit, the main way that we grieve the Holy Spirit, resist him, keep him from feeling welcome in our midst, is when we do not walk together with each other in love and forgiveness and unity. Now, I'm just sharing with you what I have experienced from numerous revivals, thank God, through the years that I've been involved in. Let me just say, in my experience, it's always this is the bottom line. I don't care if it's in other countries, New Zealand and Germany, other places where there have been revivals, where I've been ministering, or if it was here or other places, this is always the bottom line. I just caught on. It's more important to God than we've ever understood. 1 John, I want to share with you this morning over in 1 John an understanding that will help us flow as a body where we can keep the welcome mat out always for the Holy Spirit to rest here, to work here, and he will never feel either unwelcome or grieved. 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even till now. I looked up the Greek and about hate. Yeah, it's not a very big, broad word. It does say, by extension, love less. Maybe some scholar here knows what by extension means. I don't. But, okay, let's take love less. If you love your brother less today than you did yesterday, you're moving into hate. You've got to love him as much and looking for more. We have to love our brothers and sisters. It doesn't have anything to do with whether they are lovable. That's today's revelation, isn't it? It is easy to love some people. I think it's easy to like some people. If we have the love of God in us, it goes to everybody, no matter what kind of people they are. He that loveth his brother... Did I finish that verse? He that saith he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. You're deceiving yourself. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness, and walks in darkness, and knows not whither he goeth, because darkness has blinded his eyes. There's a little story I read... in a book called Like a Mighty Wind, Mel Torrey, who was the one who led the revival in Indonesia, where so many miracles were done. And by the way, I heard him speak in Florida maybe a couple of years ago, so he's still kicking. By the way, he's got some gray hair just like some other people. Can you help me, Don? I want to come down here. I can really talk to people. One thing I'm glad, though, is that I've come to this age and you don't see any gray hair. May I? I said you don't see any gray hair. Now, Don, your gray hair just proves that you're wise.
And you just proved that you're wiser.
So I want to share with you that Mel Tari was the one who went and got Heidi Baker's husband, Roland, when he was supposed to have died in 2 weeks, and he had Alzheimer's or some sickness like that. And the doctor said to gather the family around that he would be dead in 2 weeks, and Mel Tari wouldn't give up on him. Got him in a plane and took him to Germany, where they ministered to him and prayed for him, and he's completely well back flying his plane and running the organization today. And he's probably around close to 70. He's not a real young guy. It's tremendous how he's come through all of this. So Mel Tari is a great guy, and so he tells this story about when they've been going out in the jungle, they've been going to different churches. Everywhere they went, miracles would happen. And so, but one day they went to this church and everything was just dead. Nothing happened. The people didn't receive the word. They didn't want to give their hearts to the Lord. And as they were walking to the next church, it was all walking, as they were walking to the next church, he said, the Holy Spirit said, I wasn't working with you in that last meeting, and I'm going to tell you why. And he gave him this scripture here. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. He said, you know that you have something against your brother? And that way you can walk in the light is to confess that, make it right, ask his forgiveness, and you'll be walking in the light again. But right now, you're not walking in the light. Therefore, you've broken your fellowship with me as well. Now, I'm talking about if you want to do anything for God, then you can't play footsie with bad feelings toward people. I'm talking about the ones you like, the ones you don't like, the ones that treat you good, the ones that betrayed you, the ones that you think life might have been easier if you never met them. I maybe should have been a better dodger in my lifetime. It seems to me like I hit several situations. Might have been easier if I'd never have to go through them, but I love those people too because I've chosen to. Well, how can you feel toward them just like you? I didn't say I feel just like I always felt. I said I love them. I bless them. I've completely forgiven them. I would do what I could to help them. It's a choice. We choose to love people, and then the Holy Spirit begins to give us grace. And then it does a work in our heart. It will really change us when we love the people that are hard to love. So, Mel Tari confessed to his brother that he had held this against him. They got the thing made right. The next church they went to, it was just like nothing ever happened. The miracles are back. So, this is a tremendous story I've always remembered. The reason we grieve the Holy Spirit through not loving each other and brothers and people in the world. By the way, have you ever seen, like, our political system, the hatred, the animosity? I don't think it's ever been that way before. And I thought a light turned on recently when I saw about how I heard a commentator say ISIS is very attractive to these people. This last person who decided he would murder himself, several people. ISIS is attractive. And I thought, oh, I get it. These people out on the street are attracted to ISIS because they have the same hatred And they are attracted to that hatred, and this is how they can release their hatred and make it look like a cause. And whoever's walking up and down the streets with resentment and bitterness and hatred in their heart is a dangerous person and is a candidate for something worse to come to them. We simply cannot allow these things. A person said to me yesterday at our festival, I was just inviting this person to church. I'd like to come to church, but I've had a bad experience where I've been, and it's taken me a little while to get over it. And I said, well, you know something? I've had some bad experiences, and I've had some experiences that weren't all that good sometimes with people in the church. But you know what I learned? As soon as I can get that made right, then I can go on. In the meantime, I'm just losing territory. So I said, I want to invite you again to come to our church. We'll do our best to be a family to you. And anytime you want to talk to me about this, I will. I may have some things that could help you move on. We have to move on from these situations. We can't be walking in the light if we're not walking in fellowship with each other. That's what the Bible said I just read to you.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't want to have anything to do with him. Now, the Lord doesn't say that we've got to have everybody over to dinner and that we've got to spend hours and hours with them to prove it. He didn't say that. He just said, release love in your heart, bless them, pray for them, don't hold resentments and grudges and unforgiveness against them. That's what we're called to. And anything less with that then breaks this line of fellowship that we have where the power comes through the Holy Spirit. Whatever has interrupted our fellowship with another brother when we are walking in the light must be dealt with openness and forgiveness. You know, Jesus gave only one law. He only gave one law when he was on this earth. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, loving like Jesus loved is a tall order. I think as people who are born again believers in a church, it simply cannot be an option that there's some people we're going to choose not to love. Either in the church or out of the church. Or people who come to visit the church. I hope you didn't ever see someone come to visit and you hope he wouldn't come back. Because you know, your unlove might be running a person right on out that doesn't look like you, doesn't talk like you, doesn't smell like you. Where the father was okay with a smelly guy right straight out of the pigsty, who should have known better? The elder brother said, hmm. And we got to be careful about the elder brother spirit. We're here all cleaned up. We haven't been to the pigsty table in a long time. Sometimes we forget how bad off we were, don't we?
Yes, ma'am.
By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, how are people going to know we love each other in this church? My mother, bless her, used to say, that's the lovingest church I ever saw. Well, I'm glad that the Lord let her see all the loving people in the church. Because I knew a situation or two where I wouldn't have called it the lovingest thing I knew of. But that's our goal, and that's our desire, and that's what we believe in, church. We believe in being a loving church. We believe in loving each other. Most of all, because Jesus said to. And he's told us, you know, you don't have to be confused. Some people say, well, you know, I had this relationship and it's just gotten bad. I said, well, you know, the instructions are right in the Bible. He tells you step by step exactly what to do if you've got a relationship that's gone bad. And you could go over there in Matthew 5:23, it says, you know, if you want to bring a gift to the Lord and there you remember your brother has an offense against you, not you have one against him. And you remember that, leave your gift at the altar, go and make it right with your brother. That means keep it up to date. Keep your accounts settled. Up to date, regularly. Now, don't forget what I'm talking about. Having a place where the Holy Spirit's going to rest right there. I'm laying out for you what the walk looks like when you walk carefully. because you don't want to jar away the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit that you need for your own life and you need for ministering to others. Matthew 18, Jesus tells the story of the man who was forgiven a great debt. But when he needed to forgive, just a small debt, he took the man who owed him by the throat. I've preached a message once called, "Are Your Fingerprints on Your Brother's Throat?" Well, it wasn't the message. I think that was one of the things in it that people remember. People tell me what my sermons are about, and I think, when did I preach that? Jesus said, if we do not forgive, in the same passage, we'll be turned over to the tormentors. I don't know why I feel so oppressed. You know, I don't know why I'm so worried. I don't know why I'm so afraid. You've been turned over to the tormentors if you've left situations of unforgiveness. But you don't know what he did. See, that's why we have forgiveness. Because some things are so bad, you can't ever make it right, you can't get it right, you can't change it, you can't go back there, but God has provided something wonderful called forgiveness. And the key word in forgiveness is give. It may mean you give up. It may mean you give in. The word itself is give forth. It means give. Instead of clutching to yourself saying, I'm not going to make things right. He needs to come to me. Don't hold your breath. Sometimes the more someone should come to you, the less they're going to. But you know what? They can't take away the forgiveness of experience from you because you got it in your own power. Forgive them already. And it'll be over. You cannot be my enemy if I've decided to make you my friend. And every time I see you, if I say kind things to you, you may think I've lost my mind. But I'm going to go right on. Well, how did Jesus treat Judas and all these others? He knew what was coming down the road. And he did all these good things for them, just like he did for the others. Somebody needs to tell little children, maybe the second day they're born, that life is not fair. The only way you can get life to be fair is to leave every place that you're in and wear out the next group of people until it's not fair anymore. You cannot make life be fair. There's always going to be injustices. Matthew 6:14-15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now listen to this. This might make you quake a little bit. I want to say it again. Everybody ready to quake? If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Well, I thought he'd forgive me. I mean, it says if. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. I think that we've got some things we need to get right with God so we can have the full blessing of the full forgiveness and what's involved in a good forgiveness gift from our Father. Because the next verse even continues to say the same thing. Hold on here a second. But if you do not forgive him, can you believe this? Who do you think glues my pages together? I got it. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What does that mean? If I were you, I'd just be forgiving and leave that to God. I don't know what all it means. Honestly, I don't. But I know that it's a warning that if we want to walk in the blessing of God, we need to be forgiving people. Now, furthermore, which is what we're talking about today, if we want to be people upon whom the Holy Spirit will rest and be a church in whom he will make a habitation, how many of you want these two things? I do with all my heart. I just love it when we had such joy this morning. We had such freedom. We had such liberty. And if we will keep short accounts, keep our relationships right as we walk with each other, ask forgiveness, give forgiveness when we need it, ask forgiveness when we need it. A professional counselor, Christian counselor, said to me one time, I couldn't get a situation made right. He said, come on, dig, work hard at it. Find some little thing you can ask that person to forgive you for. I mean, this person had done wild things to me. But now I've got to dig deep and find something I need to ask this person to forgive me for. Sure enough, it breaks things open. Very often people will say, well, I didn't mean that. Well, I'm sorry I felt that way. Just very quickly, they'll want to diminish the strong stand simply because, how many of you know what it means to take the low place? It means to be willing not to get your rights, not to have your say. It means to be willing to hold that reality above everything else. I want to be a person where the holy dove can rest his foot and be comfortable and feel welcome, where he's not grieved, where he's not shaken by my bad attitudes, by my unforgiveness, by my resentment. And as individuals, when we come to our place of prayer each morning, let the Holy Spirit tell you who you need to ask forgiveness of or who you need to make things right with. I mean, some people just think nothing. I was just thinking recently how sometimes people think nothing of just talking about other people. He's this and he's that. Now, a lot of times you could really be wrong. I was sharing with Joan that there was a pastor. I don't know what it was about this pastor. I think I was connected with him like in some ministers fellowship groups, and something about him made me feel like that he was a person who felt that he had it together, and he really wasn't a person who was seeking after the Holy Spirit. You know, he it was like he didn't have that need, and so I don't relate when people don't know that they need the Holy Spirit. So I sort of had a struggle with that. I had formed a picture in my mind. I wasn't mad at him. I didn't feel negative toward him. That was just sort of my general picture. But one day I had to call him about something, and you wouldn't believe what happened. He just started pouring his heart out to me. His daughter-in-law, I think it was dying of cancer. There was going to be children left that someone was going to have to take care of. And he said, I really need your prayers. And I had to say, I had to think for a minute. I don't believe you've had my prayers up to this point. You don't know what's going on in people's lives. Some people are so self-centered that if everybody doesn't respond to them just in the way that pleases them, then they get something against them. He just walked through the sanctuary and didn't even speak to me. Oh, come on. Yeah, there's more to life than somebody speaking to you. We got to get over that. You might really and truly. My brother-in-law one day was saying some things to me, just kind of upbeat, and I'd been through a difficult situation, been hurtful and been difficult. And I remember it was very hard for me to respond to him in the upbeat way that he was. Later I thought, I hope he didn't think I didn't agree with something he said or whatever. Sometimes you just can't quite come up to it, right? The way that you'd like to. So let's give people a break. Maybe they just went through something bad. Maybe they're in pain. Maybe they're afraid of you. It could be a lot of things. But what gives us a right to talk about people and to put them down and to say these things? Do you ever notice that when people are talking about people, very often you see somebody do that? How do you do this? Like this. And I just thought about that. They don't want the angels to see what they're saying. Take a picture and take it back to God. And they don't want anybody to read their lips and know it's just me talking about people and I don't want you to know that I'm doing this. It could just be something as simple as, look at that dress. Well, it'd been all right if she'd worn something that would match it. Too bad they didn't have it in her size. See, if I don't get you to laugh, you're going to take this too seriously, like you're the only person in the church that does this. Now, here's what I feel today. I felt that the Lord spoke to me and said, tell the people what it means that Noah released the dove and what it means for my presence being with them. I want to be with them all the time, and I don't want to be disturbed, but I'm very careful where I land to do this. And please don't be too technically theological in your thinking today, because when you talk about anointing and baptism and all of this, I just know this, that the Holy Spirit comes sometimes with anointings, and He comes in different ways. And though He's in me and though I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, there also seems to be an anointing to minister to people, and an anointing that I want to rest upon me, that I carry, and I want all of us here. So what I want us to do is not threaten to shake His comfort as He rests on our shoulder, but to walk carefully. And if there's anyone that you have anything against, or things are not right, or you're sort of puffed up at somebody, by the way, if those people don't know anything about it and they're just as happy as a pig in mud, don't spoil their day by telling them a bunch of stuff they don't need to know. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, you know that you need to make something right. Go get it made right. You don't have the right to be puffed up at somebody. And we're not always going to do things right. Be quick to forgive each other for the things that we don't do exactly right. And you know what? Everybody's not going to be just like us. Thank God. I said to Joan this morning, when the folks came up to that were serving the communion, I was so glad, because this time happened to be all women, which was unusual. And there was some Indian folks. There was some black folks. I can't remember if there were any white folks or not. But I said, I just love our different looking church. And we've had people comment on that. That everybody here is not a rubber stamp of Dolly Dalrymple. We are all who we are, and we get to be any race that we happen to be. We're from whatever backgrounds that we're from. We came from all kinds of different denominations, and we're going to be different. And sometimes people are going to do things differently from what you would. Sometimes you won't understand, but don't bother to go to somebody and say, I don't understand why he does that, because you're talking about that person. Just don't understand it, that's all. And if it's important enough to you, go to the person and talk to them about it. If it's a problem, if it's wrong. Or you can go to a leader and get ministry for that, but don't carry it around. How many of you want to have your shoulders free and clean of all this stuff so the heavenly dove can just rest there and feel at home there? I want us to stand together this morning. He's been so good to us lately. And in the past few hours, you know, I was praying for, thanking God for our meeting in the field. I just felt it was kind of like a dream. It was just so, everything was just so good. Just, you know, the weather, you know, which we were sweating. The weather was good. People did a great job of praying for that. Everything we had was so good. I ate food that's not really on my list, and it was delicious. Today. I know. I said, and you know, my hairdresser came again. She came to our last one. And she's not in church. She wouldn't mind me telling you this. But she said, there's just, you know what's wrong? There's just one thing wrong with those potatoes. Nothing. I said, I agree with you. That was just, maybe it's because I hadn't had something like that in a while. And I hadn't had a hot dog in 100 years. Yeah, well, what it was, I sort of had a yearning for one of those. But I just don't eat pork. I know that some of you do, and that's no problem with me, but I got to stay away from it. And so I said, I'd like to have it, but they've got pork. No, these are beef hot dogs. I said, isn't that super? Yeah, no, I just had one. But listen, it was all so wonderful, and God was so good. I woke up this morning just thanking God for that. And one step further, and my prayer was, Lord, we want to fulfill the Great Commission. Yesterday morning, Lord, we want to fulfill the Great Commission. And I pray that you will do a work concerning the weather, and that you will bless the people that have worked so hard to get this together, and honor and reward them too, that this thing can all work together. And I believe that much was accomplished. As Pastor Eddie said, we won't know till down the road sometime, but I am very thankful. Do you need to share something?
I have been asked to make an announcement by Pastor Eddie Fultz.
We'll do it.
Madison.
You may.
We're going to show a slideshow.
Oh.
And we're going to let that run now, so you can sit here and watch it as long as you choose. And at 3 o'clock, the people are meeting in the field to finish breaking that. Because of the time change, it's going to be dark at 5:30. Mm-hmm. If any of you that can, do you want people to come and help it, or are you just telling the people that already know they're coming? It's biblical.
All right.
And so I think everybody in this house should give a special shout out to Candace and Michael for the fried potatoes.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Woohoo! So good.
Robert and Denise. Yeah. Awesome. Fried potatoes. To Andy Fultz, who made, what was that stuff I ate so much of? Cornbread.
Oh.
She fried cornbread. Anyway, thank you.
So good.